This is Valley Edition. I'm Kathleen Schock. California is one of the nation's top states for human trafficking, a complex crime that is difficult to combat. But here in the Valley, nonprofits are working with law enforcement to tackle the issue from multiple perspectives. I spoke with Sarah Johnson from the Fresno Economic Opportunities Commission and Jessica Pittman from the Central Valley Justice Coalition about the work taking place to end this widespread problem. So, Jessica, give us a sense of the scope of the problem in the Central Valley. I mean, my understanding is that Fresno is considered to be a hub of human trafficking. I'm wondering, why is that?
Yeah, so when we teach our Human Trafficking 101 classes, we ask that same question to the audience, and we go over a few of the reasons that make Fresno a place where human trafficking happens. Geographically, we're located in between some major, major world cities. We're on some major highways, of course, the 41, the 99. And we're really like a good stopping point between LA, Vegas, San Francisco. We also share that California, as a state, is actually the fifth largest economy in the entire world. And so what that means is if we were our own country, we would be the fifth richest country. And so there's just a lot of money going in and out of our state. Fresno's right in the middle of all of it. There's some other reasons, too. I mean, Fresno has some of like the highest concentrated poverty in the nation. I believe it's second highest now. So those are a few of the reasons. I know Sarah and their organization has some great specific numbers that I'll let her share that they've been tracking for years now.
Yeah, sure. So the Central Valley Against Human Trafficking Project at Fresno Economic Opportunity Commission has been around for a decade now. And so we've been collecting some data on just the clients that we have been seeing. And so since 2009, we've identified over 1,000 victims of trafficking throughout the Central Valley.
That's staggering.
The increase of victims that we've seen over the past 5 years can be due to funding, that we're doing more work within the community, we're expanding our scope because we take a really regional approach to this issue. But it also has to do with the fact that we're just seeing a lot of it. People are recognizing the signs of it now, picking up on it, and identifying it as an issue.
So give us a sense of what human trafficking looks like. Maybe start with sex trafficking and then talk about labor trafficking.
Sure, yeah. So there are two separate types of trafficking. And so the federal definition goes into the action means and the purpose of trafficking. And so the action being the recruitment, harboring, transporting, or obtaining of a person by the means of force, fraud, or coercion for the purpose of sexual services or labor. And so when we're talking about sex trafficking, there is one exception within that federal definition, is that minors, you do not need that means of force, fraud, or coercion because minors technically can't consent. So any minor involved in a commercial sex act, we do consider that human trafficking. And we see a lot of sex trafficking happening within prostitution. And so whether that is street prostitution, whether that is through online mechanisms of purchasing individuals online for sexual acts, it can also be someone being held in a home as a sexual slave for that individual. And so I think that sex trafficking in particular, we see that very often. And it is a hidden crime, but you know, the media shows us certain things and people are able to pick up on it a little bit more.
So, Jessica, I'm sorry, did you want to jump in?
Oh, yeah. I was just going to mention, kind of piggyback on what Sarah's saying, is that because sex trafficking is a lot more visible, one of the other things we talk about in our classes is how labor trafficking is absolutely prevalent as well, not just in our community, but globally, we know the numbers are far greater for labor trafficking than for sex trafficking, but it just tends to be even harder to identify.
Right. And it can happen within so many different industries, and it looks different in each industry that it can be a lot more difficult to identify. So whether that is an individual that's being trafficked for domestic servitude, that's living in a house as a servant, is going to look very different than an individual that's being trafficked in an agricultural industry. But it really can happen within any industry. You just the easiest way I explain it to people is you take that component of sex trafficking and you replace the sex with any kind of work. And whatever that work is, that is labor. That is labor trafficking.
So you can imagine that makes it that much harder, because instead of seeing one you can identify as potentially what we would oftentimes call a prostitution or something like that, it's just a person working a normal job, like at a restaurant or at a nail salon or any of those things. And so it's just much more complicated to identify the signs when you're talking about that.
So let's talk about the people who are committing these crimes. I mean, to what extent are gangs driving this activity, or who is purchasing people for the purposes of labor?
For labor in particular, it can look very different. So for individuals that are victims of labor trafficking, we see a really high number of foreign nationals being victimized. And for foreign nationals in particular, a lot of times their recruiters and the individuals that are trafficking them can be of their same nationality, because that's somebody that you're supposed to be trusting, right? And so they'll get recruited from their home country quite often, be told that they have this job here and that they will get paid a certain amount, and then they come. They incur debt because they're having to pay someone to get them here. And then they're told to work in an environment that they weren't promised that work in. And oftentimes they're abused, both physically and sexually. And then they're working to pay off that debt. And that debt serves as a means to keep them captive.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Jessica, did you want to follow up on that?
You know, when you mentioned gangs, and I think that's definitely something to be aware of in our community, but in a lot of communities. And so I know if we had law enforcement here who we work with very closely, they would share many stories about the gang-related crimes in Fresno and how it does connect to human trafficking, specifically sex trafficking. But I also want to mention that we share oftentimes that there is kind of the myth of a certain stereotype of the people who do the crimes. And it's really kind of important, I believe, to understand that when we're talking about people who are committing the crime of trafficking, oftentimes we try to help people realize as those people were growing up, many times they were also abused or had other circumstances in their own lives that prepared them for what they ended up doing now. And so it's a really, really complex issue, but I just wanted to mention that there's really no one size all fits the mold, you know, for this kind of thing. And so just to be aware of that, and that you know, we want to make wise choices, and when we look at other people, kind of think a little deeper than what we see on the surface. And that's what we, I think, are all trying to do in the field, is making sure we're looking beneath those immediate signs, but at the same time recognizing the ones that are very clear.
You're listening to Valley Edition. We're talking with Sarah Johnson from Fresno EOC and Jessica Pittman from the Central Valley Justice Coalition about human trafficking. I'd like to focus now, the last part of our conversation, on the work that you're doing to help people escape and recover from these crimes. I understand there's a lot of work that individual organizations are doing, obviously, but they're also doing that work collaboratively. So, Sarah, maybe you could talk a little bit about your work to bring all of these efforts together.
Yeah, so Fresno is very unique. We're very lucky here and have strong collaborations across sectors. And so whether that's non-governmental agencies providing direct services to victims, or our law enforcement, or even local governance, has really committed to the issue of human trafficking and to making a difference within that. And so when we're looking at the individuals that are directly working with victims of trafficking and survivors of trafficking, we are looking at non-governmental organizations. And so this past week, many of us came together for the Pledge to Stop Trafficking. And so that is a collaborative fund that is held at the Central Valley Community Foundation. We go out on the streets every third Tuesday of January in a pass the boot type of fashion, or Kids Day, to collect funds for this fund at the Community Foundation that all of us have access to. And so It's organizations like ourselves, the Central Valley Against Human Trafficking Project at Fresno EOC, and also the Central Valley Justice Coalition, but it's also Breaking the Chains. They provide direct services to all victims of trafficking as well. It is Beauty for Ashes and Made for Them and Molly's House and the Fresno Police Chaplaincy. And we have the Fresno Police Department out there as well. They don't take any funding, but they're there to support us as agencies that are helping support them and their work as well.
And Jessica, tell us about the Central Valley Justice Coalition. What do you do?
Yeah, so we've actually been around almost 10 years now, and in the last 5 years or so, we've really narrowed our focus specifically on the prevention side of this work. And so as we kind of took assessment of our community about 5 years ago, we really identified that if we can get ahead of the problem and reach especially the youth, but really anyone and everyone with education, then we can hopefully stop this before it happens, which, as you can imagine, saves so many things. It saves lives. It saves years and years of services. It saves money. It's just what we believe is the best way to address it for our specific organization. And so thankfully, we work with all other partners, and we do provide some services as well. But what we do is we offer community workshops. We do extended programs for youth, whether that's in a high school, a middle school, a church, group homes. And so we really believe that the more tools we can get into the hands of people to identify it and to prevent it, the better off we'll all be together. So that's what we're all about.
Because I would imagine the process of escaping a human trafficking situation has got to be incredibly difficult.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It really is world-shattering. When you think about victims of trafficking, their trafficker typically provides all of their basic needs for them. So their housing, food, clothing, protection, anything like that. And when they get taken out of that situation, they have to rebuild themselves from the ground up while overcoming this immense trauma, overcoming barriers, oftentimes as individuals of color, individuals that are overcoming poverty from a very early age that have suffered childhood abuses. And so it is a lot to overcome. When we first identify victims of trafficking or they first get taken out of their trafficking situation, what we do is really just address their basic needs first. Food, shelter, water, sleep oftentimes, because we recognize we're not going to get anywhere unless we can identify those needs and we can build upon those.
And how do you even find the victims?
So it can be a multitude of different ways. We get quite a few referrals from law enforcement that identify individuals. We'll get referrals from other nonprofit organizations, from hospitals, from the individuals themselves, that sometimes they're referred by other friends that know that they're in this situation, and they refer them out for help. Or it could be family members calling in suspecting that their child or their loved one is in a trafficking situation and needs help. And so it could be a multitude of different ways. We also have a strong partnership with the National Human Trafficking Hotline, where we're the regional coordinators for the hotline. And anytime somebody calls into the national hotline, they will connect them to us if they're within our region and they need help getting out of their situation. And so we get quite a few referrals through them as well.
You know, I could imagine this must be incredibly emotionally difficult work to engage in. Jessica, maybe you could chime in on how you care for yourself and how you advise other advocates to handle the stress of this work in order to avoid, you know, too much turnover.
Yeah, absolutely. We talk about self-care a lot in our office and with our partners. As Sarah mentioned earlier, I feel extremely fortunate to be a part of really this extended team here in Fresno. Sarah and I and several others, we meet once a month for coffee. In our office, we actually have a self-care policy that we're continually working on to encourage our own staff. And we don't make it, it's funny because we talk about, okay, we don't want to have a policy that makes it like a requirement to where you feel burdened by the idea of self-care. But at the same time, we recognize sometimes we're in this field because we care so deeply about others. So we need to also apply those same principles to ourselves. So a lot of it is a personal journey, I think, having done this for about 10 years, like figuring out when do I need to take a break for myself? you know, not look at my phone. When do I need to exercise? When do I just need to go away for a weekend? But it really does also help to have partnerships in the community to really talk through things from time to time. I think there's a variety of things. I think the most important thing is just to continue the conversation about it. And so in our office, we try to come to that conversation, I would say maybe quarterly, just whenever it comes up that we notice, you know, hey, it's been really crazy. It's been really busy. How are you doing? And it can be as simple as that.
Yeah. So, Sarah, from where you stand, do you see these efforts being, how are they working?
I think that our numbers are telling. We are identifying so many victims of trafficking. We're being up to 1,000 victims now over the past decade is monumental, because those are all individuals that are receiving services, that are receiving help.
And I guess there's no way to know how many more victims are out there.
Right. And this work is hard. We see individuals go back to their trafficker. We see individuals go back into exploitive situations, because overcoming the barriers of receiving assistance can be very difficult. And then the additional trauma on top of that can be so hard. So we have to look at it through a lens of, are they making progress for them? And are these individuals making efforts to better their own lives in their perspective, not my perspective? Because what my view of progress is, or what my view of productivity is and healing is, can be very, very different. And letting them define their own goals. And for many individuals, it could be that they come out of their trafficking situation and they couldn't even tell you a goal that they had for themselves. And so even that fact of defining a goal and empowering them to make decisions for themselves, to offer choices, I see that as a success. And so I think when we put it in the framework of the little successes, we're doing good. We're making a difference within that. And when we zoom out and we look at the individuals that we are impacting, we're making a large difference as well. And so we're doing work within this community. We're helping victims, but there's a lot more work to do. And I think that as a community, everyone needs to engage in order to eradicate human trafficking.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much for being here and for talking about this incredibly important issue. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for taking the time for this. Yeah. Thanks.